Well,
Hello.
hello.
That was real. The thing is with this, I don't know when you're coming into the room.
There's no like she's entering now.
No, there's no Zoom or whatever thing you use.
Whatever, lovely.
Our world now. I feel like Zoom's gonna be like Band-Aids. It's like, that the brand just becomes like the name.
It has because somebody once asked me recently, like they were talking about like, oh, we should Zoom, and then somebody else said, okay, what platform should we use? And I was like, I feel like that was already covered by
I feel like we
saying
checked that
Zoom.
box
We checked
already.
that box, all right. But then they were talking about getting rid of Zoom at our school.
Why?
I
Oh no,
know.
we had that talk already. Yeah,
Yeah.
because they were paying probably for something else.
They were like, oh, we don't want to pay for this, but we use it for like online classes and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, that seems like a terrible plan.
What else will we do? We'll just have to talk to each other in real life.
Real life.
I do know at our school they talked about it because the platform that we use had an integrated one and they were already paying for
Well,
like the learning
I
platform.
think they were talking about like, oh, well, we have Teams. Which, by the way, I have never in my life used Teams.
Was trying to do it without saying the words, but yeah, nope, that was the same one. Yep, that's
Yeah, you're less
it. Yeah, no,
just a
we had teams.
bulldozing through all of these copyright laws that
Right. And I'm just like being very vague to the point of I'm being a systematic theologian. I'm saying
You're being
nothing.
very careful, and I'm just like, here, all the things we shouldn't say, words, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we had teams, so I have used it. So
I have not. Well, hey, welcome to Theology on the Rocks,
Yeah,
not a
this is
discussion
weirdly
about platforms.
it's not about IT at all.
We've covered everything we know about IT in
That was
one
it. That was it. We know how to use certain platforms.
Certain platforms, kind of.
And even poorly. I couldn't forward an email the other day and I just was like, I had to get Stuart in. My husband is in IT and he does like high level stuff.
He
And
does.
I was like, I can't forward this email. And also I can't pay you for your time. I'm afraid.
This costs way more money than I make.
So, well, welcome guys to Theology on the Rocks. IT on the Rocks, not to be fooled.
IT on the rocks, also known as.
Just a bunch of dudes at computers just staring at each other.
Be such a weird podcast.
It's be so strange. I'm just imagining, and no hate to you IT people, I live with one and love one, but I have seen them gather, and it would be a sight to behold.
It's my dream in life to marry an IT person. I feel like
You heard it here first, folks. They can help you forward emails, Christy. It's great.
it's either that person or a chef. I need one of those two
Ooh.
professions.
I will say Stuart does also cook, but
Well, but I've heard that chefs don't cook at home, so I feel like that would be wasted. But
yeah. Well, guys, if you're out there,
you're out there.
you've
Slide into
heard.
our DMs.
If you want to be my second husband,
You never
also.
know which of the two of us you're gonna get,
I
which
know. I was gonna say you don't know. It's anybody's game.
is a real
It's whoever's on their phone.
is whoever's on their phone at that moment. Or it's Salem, the cat, who is winning the poll at the moment.
Quite right. Quite right. It's Dr. Salem to you.
Dr.
He got
Salem.
an honorary degree,
That is
Christy.
honorary. We have to be respectful of those honorary doctorates.
Oh, yep, we sure do. Speaking of that, in no way speaking of that, I maybe speaking of old men actually. I'm looking in my whiskey cabinet, which I have child locks on.
Yes, as you should.
I have to find the ones I can't open and the ones that I can.
I
So
know. I was just aside. So, side note, I've moved into my kitchen so that I can pour my drink on the air, as it were, and
oh
participate
yeah.
in that. So, I have not poured. So, yeah, so today we're having scotch.
We're having scotch, which was suggested to us by a a loving participant of our listener and watcher of our podcast.
In fact, probably our most ardent supporter.
Who is also NIT. What are the odds?
What are the odds? But it also fit with our theme for the day. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
What are you gonna go for?
Well, now I'm confused. Because there's a lot of options.
I know.
And I don't know. I know the one in the box is I'm not supposed to touch. So this is a Gordon McPhail.
Yeah.
Which is a distillery in Speyside, which is, I think it's Speyside. If I'm getting it wrong, that's, you can tell me, guys, out there in the world. Speyside, which is where my other half is from. But it's from 2005. So that feels that one's going in the back.
Yeah, that seems to go in the back. I almost chose my most pricey one, and then I realized that was the wrong life decision. I have one from Glengoyne, which is a Lowlands scotch, I believe.
Yep.
But it's cask strength.
Oh, Lord.
So you just have to sniff it, and you are fall down drunk. And I was like, maybe I don't do that one for the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on to Gordon McPhail's in the back. And I think Mark got this one. Another Mark Alexander shout out. He's gotten two so far.
I know, he's very popular.
Yeah. Okay, what I'm going to do, I can see the drink. There's a divide in my whiskey cabinet. That's like, I can tell what he is because he doesn't trust me, which is quite right.
Yeah.
So my favorite whiskey, Scotch whiskey, as we say, is Talisker.
Oh, hey. Leah, I am drinking Talisker tonight.
Are you?
I am. That's what I chose. I wanted to go with a good proper Scotch. I mean, not that none of my, I just felt like it was the right one.
I think we're going to be very geographically focused because I'm going to do, instead of Talisker, because I always do Talisker, I'm going to do Jura.
Jura. That's a good one, too. That's also Sky, right?
It's its own island.
Oh, it's own island.
Okay. According to the box. It's its own island. Well, I've been to Sky, and I've been to the Talisker distillery. And I've been to
the distillery, which now I have to yell at Sam about. Sam, why didn't we go to that distillery? We went to a lot of distilleries, though. So
I mean, that makes sense. But
we were on Sky for like 3 days, though. This seems like we made a real bad choice. But
what did you do on the Isle of Skye for 3 days?
Jesus,
did you go cow tipping or what?
This is what I will tell you, is that she tried to convince me to go for a hike.
Oh,
and
how'd that go?
Did not go. I sent her on her merry way.
And you just drank Talisker.
She came back. She came back. Hike, and she was like, "It's a good thing you didn't go on that hike." And I said, "I already knew that, Sam. I didn't need to like find it out." And then we went to there's some kind of like castle or something.
There's a castle in Skye.
Yeah,
there's probably more than one.
And we did a little tour, and then we like hiked down to the cliffs.
Yep.
And I saw dolphins in the ocean.
I would certainly hope so. They would be there. Wouldn't that be terrifying?
And we saw Oh, I did once, actually.
You saw a dolphin on land?
Yes, I did. It was
okay, not, wait a minute. This podcast just got weird.
It was not a great moment. So I was visiting my it was dead. Yeah. I was visiting my dear friend Kira in her hometown, that I cannot pronounce correctly, but it's in Ireland. It's called Kersavine.
That sounds right.
County Kerry. And we went down to the beach. Like, her parents' house is right on the beach. And we like took a little walk down, and we're walking down, and I looked over, and there was the rotting corpse of a dolphin.
Wow. It was that dark and sad. I was thinking it just has grown like human legs and was walking around. But Nope. Dead.
Deeply, unfortunately, no. And I was traumatized.
Well, guys, that's your guide to the Isle of Skye there and Ireland, apparently.
And Ireland, yeah. Anyway.
So I have my Jura.
I have my Talisker.
So we're doing the islands. The islands historically are, giving you my little knowledge, are very smoky, right?
They are very smoky, which is not usually my thing. The Talisker is quite good.
Ooh, I love a good smoke. Guess what ice I do have this week, guys?
Oh, do you have your whiskey ice? I was also just gonna ask you to tell your listeners how you take your scotch, because that's a thing.
It is a thing. So in our house, we don't use ice for scotch. We use either the cubes that are in plastic, or if you want to be fancier, we have these, like, I don't know, like rocks, Christy. They look like gray rocks.
Oh, whiskey cubes.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we have those. What do you mean? And that's what I'm going to be using today.
I have a little metal Nessie, a little Loch Ness
monster. Aww, that's way nicer.
It's really cute. And when I have a bigger glass, I put her in it. And but today I'm drinking out of a very proper, what are they called?
Tumbler.
No, the actual.
Oh, you got a whiskey glass. I have one of those.
I have drinking out of it. It's from Oban. It's from when I went to Oban.
Where are they?
So Nessie does not fit in this glass, and therefore I couldn't. But I like to put 4 or 5 drops of water in my scotch before I drink it.
That's controversial. They say it opens up, but
this is why I asked you.
My other half is not a fan, and I, quite frankly, I'm not a fan either.
I think it opens up the flavor, but
look, that's what they tell you. And I as a person from North Georgia to tell you differently?
You know what? When I went on my first whiskey tour in Scotland, I remember the guide was like, look, here's the thing. Whatever you like is how you should drink it. And don't be a snob about your whiskey. And I was like, that's the mentality I'm going to take away from this.
And then you got older.
And then I got older.
Wait a minute. I've got to be snobby. A snob about everything.
But
that's how I'm speaking for myself.
There are certain things I won't let you do. And if you want to do them, you're going to have to find your own whiskey or scotch to do them with.
I managed to find a Talisker glass. I did have my husband's initial. He got a really nice set from my mom, actually, of glasses that have his initials, which I feel like is a rite of passage.
That would be really nice, yeah.
For a Southern person. Yeah. But I found a Talisker glass instead. All right, I'm going to pour.
Okay, I have poured.
You've done the pouring.
I've poured. I'm nosing it now.
Oh. What time is it again? It's usually an end of the night situation.
I know. Whew.
I love it. Whiskey doesn't hit the same way. I can see why it's so popular in Scotland, because it doesn't quite hit the same way.
When you're melting.
I'm melting.
I'm so sweaty. I had to turn my air conditioning up because I knew this whiskey was going to make me hot.
Oh my gosh. Feels so warm.
But, I was like, you know, I got to prep for this.
All right. Just drank it truly to prepare myself for. I did run.
That's actually good.
Yeah, that's good.
I went to the doctor today.
Man, we are killing it.
Adults.
We are good. I feel like every week we just show more and more
how amazing
we deserve the accolades we have.
Yeah.
So, all right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
All right.
Cilantro. 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 Cilantro.
Cilantro. Oh, it's good. You know, just what I needed, really.
Ooh.
It is tasty.
Yeah, that is.
I like it. I am going to have to try yours when I get to your house someday.
There?
I am. Are you?
My colleague Kevin was calling me. my work husband was calling me.
My mom tried calling me earlier, so.
And I was like, I wonder if I could get you both on here. come to find out, no, you can't.
No.
So, hey, everyone. We're now drinking whiskey. Oh, my gosh. My throat's burning. It's been a minute.
Oh, it's so good. It's the warming. I miss the warming. I'm
well,
very hot, but it's making me sick. I'm going to be a literal puddle on this floor soon, but it's worth it. You know, I also feel one of my seminary professors said this, but I just feel like theology is supposed to be done with a good glass of scotch. So,
I mean,
we're going to do some good theology today.
I think we are. Speaking of, I had my book launch recently. For Bad Theology. That's coming out.
How did it go? Not that I don't already know.
Thank you for asking, Christy, that impromptu question that you don't know the answer to. It went well. I had fun. My friends were all there. A lot of Charlotte people showed up. My parents showed up. It was a really good mix of a bunch of different people, which can be challenging in terms of how to present stuff.
It can, yeah. But
if you want to present it, thank you. My husband was taking videos and sending. This is how dedicated Christy was.
I was unsure of how to watch this, so Stuart just started videoing it and sending me snippets. And then we decided that next time he's going to be in charge of like actually filming it.
Well. We'll see about that. We'll see if Trip can afford him. It will be on Homebrew Christianity, I believe, at some stage. It went really well. I had a really great time. We sold a lot of books. And if you haven't picked up the book, please do.
Please do. It's still linked. And I even linked the Amazon one, though we would prefer you buy from SCM. I do realize that it is a UK organization. You have to pay in pounds and all of that. So the link to the Amazon site is also on our multiple links thingy.
The link tree. I learned that from you.
Which, speaking of, you can find our link tree on our Instagram, which is at Theology on the Rocks, and on our Facebook, which is Theology on the Rocks. Though who uses Facebook? I don't know. And
I really will
put it on our Twitter tomorrow. It really will be up there tomorrow. But our Twitter is at Theology Rocks.
Yeah. Who uses Twitter would be my mom is on Facebook, at least. Who's on Twitter?
Twitter is also just crashing. It gets worse every day.
I never understood when people were like, I'm going to get off social media. I might get off everything but Instagram.
We've gotten too old to know. I like TikTok.
They do the kids do the Snapchats.
Do they still do the Snapchat?
Well, I don't know. They did last semester.
Did you ever hear about that Be Real?
Oh yeah, which I'm so bad at, which everyone knew that I was gonna be bad real, at.
I had for about a minute and then I was like, I can't handle this.
I still have it downloaded for you. And it will occasionally send me notifications that are just like, just make me feel bad about myself. They're like, it's been like 500 years. It's like the owl on Duolingo, who's just like, you haven't learned French in like 8 years. What's your problem?
And like, you aren't doing your French every single minute of every single day.
Not even every day of every week, really. Yeah, and
I'm too embarrassed to tell you what my streak is at the moment because it's really embarrassing and indicative of my lack of social life.
In which way? Oh, okay, never mind. That told me what I need to hear. Well, I think you should, because remember when everyone was posting about Wordle? I guess you can post about that. You can tell us.
I can just tell you that I'm. Yeah. It's like 600 and some days.
Oh my god!
I know.
We don't even. You don't even attend actual French class that much.
I just recently learned what the word for Scotland is in French, and I'm not going to say it on this because I haven't actually heard it. I've just seen it now.
Gotcha.
That is how deep into word or to do a little bit.
Well, that's exciting. Do you know the French word for God? Did you like that segue?
I did really good. So much. And did you like the immediate, like, do I?
Dios or do.
Yeah.
No, that's yeah. Yeah.
Just say it really snotty sounding.
I said do, which is two in French, so we'll just go with that. Sorry, Mademoiselle Bain from high school. Oh, apologies. So this week we thought that we would talk about, because we talked about theology last week a bit, and what we understood, but we realized that there's some people out in the world, and I realized this too. I think at the book launch there were people there who had grown up in religion, and then there was some that never even had grown up in any kind of religion, and then some that were of different religions. And so that's what I was talking about in terms of like having to explain the book from that perspective. So it actually mm-hmm. really challenged me to try to think of, you know, how to teach my book, which I hadn't actually, I teach a lot of things, but I yeah. hadn't taught that yet.
Yeah.
And so our challenge for this week in terms of questioning while we drink whiskey is what do we think about, well, God, basically.
Yeah, which seems fairly obvious, but we had not really thought about it until people were like, hey,
what's your definition?
What is your understanding of God? Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and I think it works because we went straight into the academic stuff, which I think is kind of funny, because that's how our brains went.
It does, yeah.
To the academic study, but we didn't really talk about what we meant about that study. Like, we kind of almost talked about the methods that you use to do the studies and not actually the subject.
The study itself, which some would say in the systematic world, it's helpful to do the method first, but...
Oh, would they say that?
They would say that, but you know what? We did an accident.
You know, so. What do they know?
It's just, we're so good at this. We just stumbled into it. Leah, tell us what your thoughts on God are.
Well, Christine.
Tell us all your thoughts on God.
Because I'm going to meet him. I'm on my way to meet him or something.
Because you're on your way to meet him, yes.
Okay, cool. And it's a hymn. Okay. Well, I've been reading recently for fun, actually today, Elizabeth Templeton. And it wasn't preparing for this at all. I actually just picked it up, which was sort of weirdly serendipitous for a bunch of reasons. But she was friends with someone who passed away recently in New College. But anyway... that was at New College. She was there in the, I think it was the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, somewhere in there. But she's writing throughout this time period. Okay. And
New College, Edinburgh.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah. New College, Edinburgh. And it's called, she has a book called The Strangeness of God. And I kind of just picked it up because whenever you're doing theology, at times you just sort of need a reset, I think.
Absolutely. I think so. Very true.
And you need, like, of course, my whole bookshelf is like my friends, so I knew that Elizabeth Templeton was a friend, but I hadn't picked her up in a while to just sort of read her, and I needed a little bit of a reset. I'm not going to reset into some like weird for me sphere, but I needed to have something like that. So I was reading her stuff, and yeah, she has a book called The Strangeness of God, and it's really interesting because studying theology, at least from the Protestant perspective, was quite rigid in their understanding of God. And it felt, at least in what I grew up in, that God was sort of this almost judge and jury. And mm-hmm. that you basically, it was sort of like the justice lady with the scales, is you just were really trying to, you know, make sure you had one side that was the good side, that was better than the other.
Right.
And so I grew up feeling quite scared of God in a way. And I've talked about this on podcasts. And then as I got older and I started learning about theology and different theologians and all of their different understandings, it felt like God got a lot bigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a presupposition that God exists, that's my own thing. But I do know theologians where that's not the case. People oftentimes, I think, misrepresent theologians as being having to be ministers or having to be within the tradition. And there are some people that are just interested in religious beliefs.
I know a lot of theologians who are atheists.
So
starting out just with the premise that God does exist is important.
Yeah, for me and for the stuff that I write. Though as a practical theologian, that sort of premise is less important than I think if you're a systematic theologian, because we do a lot of observation of other people's things. My interpretation is going to be absolutely shaded in this understanding, my understanding that God exists. So it's going to be biased in that sense. But what people are doing in their own lives and how they're acting out their understanding or their non-understanding or their, you know, their understanding that there is no God, whatever, you know, blah, that in itself is their own thing. So God for me, as I got older, got a lot bigger and all of a sudden got a lot more. And you and I have talked about this viewing of universalism and how we, when you start learning about theology and world religions and people who are, is the phrase atheist or non-belief? Is that, or the, that's kind of the, I had friends who did this at New College. I'll just say atheist, and you can tell me if there's a new, like.
I think it's still atheist.
Okay.
I don't know if there's another word for it.
Atheist, agnostic, all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, theology, what was once just a tiny little room, and God was this tiny little room, got a lot, lot bigger as I learned from different people, and it got a lot more complicated and absolutely. A lot more nuanced. And, you know, going to University of Edinburgh and, you know, discussing theology with people that were there, you know, that were from different religions and none, really opened up my world. And I think reading people like, you know, Marcella Alfels Reed and Elizabeth Templeton, who are both very important female theologians that were at New College, made me realize that I think God is kind of strange. And Marcella says, you know, queer in terms of, I mean, she uses that phrase in a multiverse, but like, there is a strangeness there. And so I really like that kind of approach that there's a mystery. And I think a lot of Catholic theologians, like I've read, my colleague that was just calling me did his stuff on Balthazar. And I actually really liked reading some of Balthazar's stuff, because it was like, you know, we don't know this stuff. Like, we don't even know a corner. And I think it's kind of, it makes it a lot more, Elizabeth Templeton talks a lot about freedom, and that, you know, that when God, if you believe in God, when God created the universe, that there was a real need for humanity to have this degree of freedom and self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And that's really key, actually, because God could just have made people that were like, okay, you believe in me.
Right. Have you seen that movie, Bruce Almighty?
I've not seen it. I show it in class, which is a real bummer that I haven't.
You show it in class.
100%. Yeah. No, I do.
I think it's brilliant because there is a minute when they talk about the fact that, like, if God had created people and forced them to love him. Again, God in this movie is Morgan Freeman. So, like,
you can use
the can say him. But then it wouldn't be real love. And I thought it was a really well done demonstration of that, what you're just talking about. But
I mean, I think that she has this whole creation narrative that she writes about that, and then she uses the phrase, the voice of history chimes in every once in a while and sort of says, well, they don't like you and they don't care about you, and or, you know, they've killed, you know, your son or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And God just kind of perpetually responds and says, you know, that's a part of the freedom aspect, you know, all of the, that's it. I mean, it has to go, or, you know, and so I think there's a little bit of that. I like reading the mystery stuff and the idea of not knowing. And, you know, Templeton also, I have her book in front of me, and she just talks about this idea that everyone's capable. She says, we are all made for truth, capable of the pain and delicacy of it, able to wrestle for it with both brain and gut and get it, basically. So, you know, it's this idea that everyone is kind of in the same position. She talks about this idea that people who try to like have a corner on understanding God are actually just building up their, she uses the word empires or maintaining. Oh, yeah. I think she says maintaining. Yeah.
Yeah.
Between study and pulpit, insider and outsider, specialist and non-specialist, are more often to do with the maintaining of empires than with the exploration of truth.
I think that's so fascinating. I think that one of the things that I hear a lot too is the people who think that they know God exactly, or that they don't need to learn anything more about God, are really just worshiping an image of themselves.
Yeah. Yes. And I think there's no way to not make God in your own image. I have my students at the beginning of some religion classes, I put God, goddesses, no God. And I say, would it draw me a picture?
Yeah. And
I have them draw a picture of what their understanding of theology, essentially. I'm trying to teach them what sort of theology sort of is, the concept.
Right.
And they draw such wonderful things, actually. And but they're all kind of a projection of themselves in some ways. And I think once we look at those pictures and you think, what would your picture look like? And we can ask that maybe on the Instagram, what would your picture look like?
Yeah, we should. That's a good one. Guys, get your pictures ready.
Get your pictures what ready.
Is a picture of God. Yeah.
And then to analyze that, I think it gives you a real indication. So it's been a journey for me from something that was very specific and quite small and very sort of judgmental to something that has widened into a bigger sort of mysterious element that has a bunch of different rooms that have, you know, Karl Barth can be in there. We'll allow him in there.
We'll allow Barth.
As long as he's able to room next to, you know, Marcella or James Cone, then he can come in, whatever. But the rooms are so much bigger now, I think. So
I think
let's hear about you, because that was a lot.
That was great, though. It was a good segue, because I feel like one of the things that I also would talk about is how much bigger and more powerful and more loving and more just qualitatively everything God became once I started studying theology, and also once I started studying other religions. I know that as I got into teaching this class, I would tell you all the time, like, oh my, like these, all these, oh my God, all these religions have so, like, there's these little nuggets of similarities. And it's just, you know, again, starting with the premise that I do believe in God, and particularly in God as a personal being, as opposed to a more pantheist or even kind of Hindu, like being itself, or Tilak, you know, being itself kind of idea. Like I see God very much as an independent being. And so to think about how God has kind of reached farther and done more than I thought God did when I was still just learning about it in, you know, youth group. And like you said, I used to think of, especially because of the Trinity, God the Father was the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
And God the Son was like Superman saving me from God the Father, which is a really messed up thing to say.
Yeah.
When you actually think about it. And like when I was in seminary, we talked about that a bit. But I also remember this moment when I was working at my first school, when I had my first theology job, and I was sitting around with my coworkers drinking scotch and smoking cigars. Which was the greatest moment of my life.
You peaked there. That's peak theologian.
peak theologian. These men, and like, I truly, there are three of them from my department. It was four of us sitting around. And they're truly some of the most influential people I've ever known in my life. They're very brilliant. They're wonderful people. And just to be sitting there smoking cigars and drinking scotch and talking about God, I just remember like in the moment being like, I can die now. This is amazing. But like, we were talking about the moment your God box broke open.
Oh, like,
yeah, that's how they phrase, and everybody was just like talking about the ways that God became bigger for them. And it was so fascinating. But like, the two things that I think are most relevant to how I understand God is that God is very relational, that God desires to be in relationship, and that we know that because God created the world. And we can see those kind of relational aspects of God in a whole bunch of different ways. And also that God is, like you said, strange and mysterious. And now I'm getting text messages.
Oh no. Kathy, what are you wanting now?
Kathy. the way that Catherine Tanner, speaking of Kathy's, the way that Catherine Tanner talks about God as being so distinct from us, and it different than how Bart does. So just for those who don't know all of these big wigs in the theology world, Carl
Barth. My name is Leah Robinson.
Yeah, senior scholar, the Reverend Dr. Leah Robinson is here with me today.
And my colleague, who is even more senior.
But so Karl Barth's kind of famous for very Jesus-focused theology, but also...
Gosh, he loved him a Jesus.
He loved him a Jesus. I have a bag that I got from AAR 1 year that... I don't even remember what it says, but it's something about Jesus. But the joke goes, like, if you ask Karl Barth a question, every time his answer is going to be Jesus.
He's like a Sunday school kid.
But his other answer is nine. Nine! Like
nine and Jesus.
Nine and Jesus. No, you've gotten it wrong. But one of his big things was that God is other than us. God is different than us. And I think in a lot of circles, this gets kind of pulled into this way where God is unreachable and distant and all of that. And Catherine Tanner takes it and she's like, if we actually think about God as being different than us, we have to stop thinking about it in terms of competition, because that's a very human way of talking about things. Yeah. And so like, when I say that somebody is different than me, I always mean that in ways where there's like, one of us is better, or one of us, you know, has something the other doesn't have, or something like that, you know? And she's like, God is so different from us that our language can't even wrap itself around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we have to stop thinking about all that. And she says that the difference, that massive amount of difference between God and us actually pulls God closer. And so I'm going to read you a quote because I found this.
Oh, we're reading today.
I'm going to tell you what it means because it's a lot of fancy words.
Oh, no. This is where the systematics lose us.
I know. I'm sorry. But it's such a good quote. She says, a God who genuinely transcends the world must not be characterized by it, by a direct contrast with it. And then she says, that divine transcendence, that idea that God is other than us, inevitably brings God down to the level of the non-divine to which it is opposed in the manner outlined earlier, because it means that God is so different than us that God has inserted God's self into the world. And so there's a closeness that she says later on, she says that even God is even closer to us than we are to ourselves. And that this is a better way of understanding that otherness. And so, yeah, so I feel like for me, seeing God as both relational and as very other, but in the Tanner form of other, not the Bart form of other, really made
God. What do you mean by the Bart form?
The Bart form, where it's like God is, you know, God is irreparably different from us. We cannot know God Jesus is the only way that we have any information about God.
That Jesus thing again.
Jesus is the only reason that we're reconciled to God.
Sure.
And like all of that, I think Jesus, obviously, I'm a fan.
I mean, you know, it's, I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it's a pretty big one.
Yeah. And like, I mean, like you said earlier, Christianity. The kind of more universal trend that we've both gone down because of learning all this stuff. I do think that Jesus is a particularly helpful way of knowing God.
Yeah.
And I also do believe in the idea of the Trinity, but like, again, I think that that's a very relational understanding, that God is just inherently relational. And then
I always tell my students the Trinity is made up, and they don't understand. And it
see, Leah and I will disagree on the Trinity, but
I like God and Jesus, and I like the Holy Spirit for other people. I like it all. It's not about like and dislike. No. And I don't think it's bad theology. I think it is it's historic.
It's historic
theology.
It's historic theology, and I think that it's helpful and in certain ways. And I think that it's not helpful in other ways. But
that was very diplomatic.
I think it's not helpful when you're telling a bunch of like 18-year-olds like this is the Trinity, and they're just
this is made up. When we say made up, and by the way, when I say historical, I just mean that it's very, like, we can document when it sort of popped up.
Yes. And it's a deeply long-held tradition of the church.
Indeed. Yeah.
But yeah, so I would say that for me, those are the two big things for God, is, like, both understanding those relational aspects.
Yeah. Flannery O'Connor had a quote that said, a God that you know, this is a rough quote, God that you know would be less than yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that regardless if we believe in God, we have to believe in the idea that we don't know God very well.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much, you know?
I think I cut you off. You had 2 points. You said one was the relational aspect and
the otherness.
Oh, the otherness.
Okay. Which I like your strange. That's a.
The strangeness of God.
I think that's a helpful one too.
Yeah. And it doesn't take away from the fact, I like how she presents it, because it doesn't make it seem like God's just over us. Which, to be fair,
could be accurate. I mean,
it would not be. And that's what the voice of history pops up in her story, keeps trying to say, is like, this is not going how you thought. And God continuously is kind of trying to hold out and say, just wait. And then
hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that too is also something I always keep in mind, is that like, with a belief in God always comes that belief in hope.
Indeed. That's a happy view. It's a lot better than the sort of God with the two like scales.
For sure. It was a really nice day to leave that punishing Father God behind.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it's the thing too that some people have said, at least in my world, throughout my life, being in the Baptist world, they'd say, well, that's just making you feel better. And I think it is one of those, tying into the relational aspect, is a relationship's two ways. Mm-hmm. And if I don't want a relationship with someone who is perpetually
abusive.
Yeah. And at the very core of my being and my createdness, if that's how it went, you made me to be in contradiction, and people are like, well, you know, maybe you just have to fight that stuff. And it's like, yes, but why? Mm-hmm. Like, and I understand fighting some of it, but like,
well, and two, I think that, I mean, it wasn't to make myself feel better. I felt horrible for a while letting go of those old ideas of God.
Oh, because it's really,
it's terrible.
Destabilizing.
It's deeply destabilizing. And it's really, you get really frightened. Like, oh, I didn't go to all of this school meaning to lose my faith.
Right.
you know, which I would argue I didn't. I feel like I have a much stronger faith now. But,
oh, same. Yeah.
But it is, it's incredibly terrifying. Nothing about it is comfortable or nice.
I know. It's just, I read it sometimes, or I'll see people say, oh, you're just self-justifying. And I'm like, well,
sorry, that was my scotch bottle being opened again.
I didn't know what the heck that was. I was on the train. So
that was the cork. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. but I would argue that we're perpetually self-justifying, and that maybe the action, that's what I argue in bad theology is, you know, maybe the action of self-justifying or self-creating, I would say, theology is not necessarily, maybe it's an act of faith. You know, maybe it's not necessarily, and people would say, well, there's some really terrible people who've done that. Well, yeah, we have to have reflection.
Absolutely. I think you do have to be held accountable to stuff.
Yeah. There has to be critique, and I'm okay with that. But I do think there is some actions whereby creating that world for yourself helps deepen that relationship.
Mm-hmm. And too, I think one of my good friends, Dr. Ryan Murphy, says this a lot. Like, I would rather, you know, weigh my beliefs against the, like, general 2,000 years of history of the church than to be like, oh, I am part of this small segment who's gotten it right for about 50 years, and the rest of human history is all going to hell.
Like we talked about last week, they're all German white guys. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't think God is going to be like, man, these 200 people here, they got it right, but all the rest of you.
And man, what a place heaven would be. Oh, all the brown shoes.
Let's not. All the brown shoes there are.
So my segue, because I'm looking at the time.
Yes. I was just going to say.
We had a suggestion. Mm-hmm. It probably won't surprise you, suggested it, another fellow podcaster, to do a F, Mary, Kill.
Yes.
I've ever played that with theologians. And I thought about this, and I thought maybe we could PG it and just say date. Whatever you do on dates. Follow
whatever happens on dates.
Is not a shaming place.
We're not judging.
We want to open it up to our listeners that you can go on dates and follow your heart.
And so, you can go on dates with these theologians in your mind, because some of also, them are gonna be dead.
Yeah, exactly. Also,
and they may also not want to date you back.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, some of them may not want you, and for reasons you could only imagine. But also the kill, I felt, was a little harsh. So I was going to say, like, you know, because some of them may be still alive. We don't want to double kill them.
Yeah.
Let's just, I thought banish.
Could banish. Okay. Yes.
To like an island.
Yes.
And it isn't, they can have other people there.
Okay, like, we can banish them to the same island.
Oh, yeah.
They can Lord of the Flies that shit.
Oh, my gosh. They can come up with their own version of God over there.
Figure it out on that island.
So date, marry, and banish to the island.
Okay. So
you want to go first, or do you want me to go first? Because we're just going to go back and forth.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I have to start with the daddy, don't I?
Daddy. Yes.
You don't even know which daddy I'm going to go for.
I mean, I have my thoughts, but say it.
Carl Bart.
Daddy Carl.
Daddy Carl. Who would
You know what's going to happen is that I'm going to say Daddy Carl in some meeting now. People are going to give me looks. Daddy Carl, you know, I'm going to say that I would date Daddy Carl.
Oh, God.
I would date him.
All right.
We could have some chats. We're going to have some good chats and over some German beer.
Got it. And Bart has a lot to offer. It might actually do good to have a woman read girl power.
You know, to have a woman stand up might be helpful.
There. Might be rather right. Rather amazing.
I'm going to go for another daddy.
Okay, do it.
Are you ready?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Augustine.
Augustine. Okay, I'm going to have to... Oh, Kevin Taylor, who's my colleague, Dr. Kevin Taylor, is going to kill me for this. Oh, gosh, Christy.
Oh, no.
I know. Do? I'm going to banish him.
You're going to banish Betsy?
He's just a lot. He's a lot. I know.
Well, he can't do anything else. There's no other options.
He's really important, but gosh, he would just be a lot.
He's a lot. And you
there's
know,
not
the
enough
whole
beer.
Sex addict thing is.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're going to go ahead. He's going to have friends. He'll
I
have
think
friends.
Banishing him is the right call. I do.
Well, there we go. So he's gone. But you know what? Other people will join you. Okay. Here is one for our process theologians. John Cobb.
John Cobb. Ooh.
Or just in general, your view of process theology. But know that there is a great following.
I know. I feel. Cobb. Oh, see how you were nervous just now. I feel nervous as well. Look, I've learned a great many things from a lot of good process theologians, and I have deep respect, but I can't marry him, so he's going to have to be banished.
Banished, John Cobb. He's with Augustine. On
he's with Augustine. I'm sorry. I didn't have another choice.
I mean, this is part of the game. It's hard.
It's part of the game. Yeah.
Karl Barth's the only one that's gotten a date so far, which is... surprising. Guys, by the way, if you hear me make fun of Karl Barth, it's not because I don't love him. It is simply because I don't love the people who love him. That is it.
I mean, look, if there's anything
that's why Christy's dating him right now.
If there's anything worth watching, it's a video of him just yelling no. I used to show that video to my students.
I mean, he had a particular position.
Nine. All right, ready for your next?
I'm ready.
All right. I mentioned earlier, pulling them back out. What about Paul Tillich?
I think I'm going to, I don't know what he looks like. That's probably part of it, isn't it?
Are we judging on attractiveness?
Well, if we're going to marry, I don't want to be stuck with an uggo.
He's stuck with an uggo. I don't know. I'm not pulling up an image.
Look, I don't necessarily buy all of the correlation stuff, but I'm gonna say marry.
I think it's a wise choice to marry.
I think him. I'm just gonna marry Paul Tillich. Like, because I feel like we'd have a lot to talk about. Hopefully, after this, we're gonna have to look and see what he looks like. So committed to that one, and I like him more than some other ones. So yeah, we'll put that. Okay. All right. You ready?
To know who I'm about to marry. Yep.
Okay. Gustavo Gutierrez.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Well, with what?
I have to marry him. That's all I've got left.
No, you this no.
Do we get to?
You get multiple.
Is that how we're playing this game? See, I didn't know that. Okay, I would date him then. I don't want to marry him because I do remember what he looks like.
Oh, I love
he's
him.
A sweet little man.
He's short, I think. He's but so short. But he's very very sweet. Looking
I think he's deeply appreciative of his work.
Oh yeah,
Gustavo. Yeah. You
love Gustavo.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
I like that you were like it's the only one I have left.
So this is how we've always played the game before. You're left with Mary.
Well, no, because then I would just give you John Calvin and you'd be stuck Mary and John Calvin.
He's so mean to me.
I know. Well, that's why I didn't do it.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset about marrying him.
John Calvin?
No, Gustavo.
Oh, okay.
John Calvin's getting banished for sure.
He would not approve of this podcast. John Calvin. On like so many levels.
It's rolling in his grave right now.
Sorry, all the Calvinists. Did you like I was like, John Calvin? So you're going to marry? No. Okay, Gustavo. Okay, so you look, date to marry.
Date to marry, yeah. All right. There's a potential.
Good to know. We got to clarify. It's nuance. It's a part of the game.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give us, let's do one more round. So you get one more and I get one more.
Okay.
But it's your turn. So.
Okay. Sorry. And the terror that I had about John Calvin right then, I just have to recover a little.
Oh, you're ready to marry that dude. I could have softballed that one right in.
Just been like John Calvin, I'd be like, no. Okay,
well, guess we know that he's on the island with old Augustine. And wait, who else did we send to the island?
I'm gonna throw you a curveball here.
Okay. Who else? Ready? Yeah, ready.
I'm Catherine Keller.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Tanner.
Catherine Keller.
I am going to say I would date.
I also agree with that position.
Like, you know, let's see where we're at. Let's softball some. I've just used reference twice. Let's see some ideas. I feel like every, like, well, I'm not gonna say that, but I feel like there are certain people that I I was about to gender this, but I would say a lot of theologians that I get along with very well in terms of dialogue are self-identify as female, so I would like a good dialogue.
Here's what I have to say. There are very few theologians who write beautifully. It's not really something that we're known for.
Speak for yourself.
She writes beautifully, but like, you cannot pull a quote out of her book to save your life, because no sentence means anything.
So I'm glad that you said that, because what I was gonna say was I don't understand any of it, but I didn't feel like that was right for this podcast, because I read it in your dissertation when I was rereading it, and I was just like, what?
You know how hard I worked
just what
to have something intelligible in my dissertation from her.
You had like a whole section, or
there's a whole chapter. Because I had to, and oh my god, it was like the most work I've ever done. It was harder than Bart.
Oh, for sure. I wrote about Bart in my dissertation.
What I said just now about Catherine Keller and like not being able to get a quote, I said to my supervisor, Heather Walton, greatest, and she said, yes, that's correct.
So when I said dialogue, what I really meant is I want to go on a date and you need to tell me what you mean.
Yes, I want to sit you down and ask you so many questions.
Because I believe you.
But I don't know what you're saying.
But I don't understand anything. It's too poetic.
Too far.
Yeah. And that's me in the limit of my brain. But if we go on a date and maybe we have some wine, maybe it'll make sense.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Your last one. What is it?
All right. It's a doozy.
I'm ready.
It's both of the Niebuhrs.
Oh, the Niebuhrs.
Ooh. But you get both of them.
I get both of them?
You get both of them.
Can I not distinguish between the two? Or
do no. I not. Yes, listeners, I know they're different and they had different thoughts. But I just like the idea that there's two of them.
There's two of them. What about the Torrance clan?
Oh, God. Nope. I can't.
The never-ending line of Torrances.
That's what Disney should have done. That's what Disney should have done. In their lawsuit, they should have just said, as long as there's a Torrance,
That would have been so much longer. As long as there's a Torrance in Scotland doing theology, this is in perpetuity.
This is Disney's property.
This is Disney's property. The Niebuhrs. I'm going to banish the Niebuhrs.
Oh, dang!
The Niebuhrs, yeah.
Oh, dang. Any reason? Just
this, there's some personal... But also, I think that like the whole conversation about culture is just like wildly misunderstood, and like like on their part, they misunderstand culture.
On their part. Well, they were part of a very specific culture.
I mean, yes, that's true. But like, that's not how any of it's being used. So no. I'm banishing the neighbors. Banished
the neighbors. The neighbors are on the island. Augustine.
The neighbors, Augustine.
We're John Calvin. We're just going
to. John Calvin.
And who was the other person that was on the island? This is what Scotch does.
We're
Dayton, Carl Bart, and Catherine Keller.
Keller, yeah.
And Gustavo Gutierrez. And
Tillich. You
banished John Cobb. That's why I don't remember.
John Cobb.
Yeah.
That's because I blocked it from my memory. Who are we marrying? Can we?
I married Paul Tillich, but I don't know what he looks like.
You did marry Paul Tillich. I didn't marry anybody. I'll switch Gustavo to Mary.
Okay.
I'll marry him.
All right. Well, okay. That's you've heard it first, basically. In our important positions, we've done it.
Well, hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to episode 4. As a desperate plea, could you please like and subscribe to our podcast, because we're still trying to get it on that old Apple.
Yeah, they require things, so please.
They require things of us, so go ahead and hit all those buttons. We would appreciate it
for sure.
And thanks. Share things and whatnot.
Buy the book and look at our link tree. We also have some events coming up, and we'll update the link tree with that stuff.
Yeah.
As well as,
yeah. And we're like in talks of having some guests as well. Yeah. So
draw us a picture of God and say, guests
and like any requests. We're taking all the feedback.
We need to organize it, but
we need to organize things.
It's present, so
at least we don't have to grade anymore.
We don't have to grade anymore. It's delightful.
All right, I am a puddle on the floor.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.